Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm joined by my dear friend, Sir Nick Felder, one of the great players of our time, and very excited to be speaking to him. So it's amazing the things we remember, and I can remember of all my 18 majors, 9 and 9 on both tours, I can remember each tournament, what swing I was using that week. And they really? Were all different. They were all different, most of them.
Well, that's the art of experimenting, you know, because... you know, people get, you know, you've got to keep experimenting in that game. You experiment every day. I mean, it's, I was just looking at a tweet when they were saying, well, I was experimenting, fiddling with my swing. You know, should he, I love that line when they say, well, shouldn't he just do what he's doing naturally? I love that because Sam Snead said I hit 10 million balls to make my swing look natural. I mean,
That's a great line, Nick.
Well, I've tried to come up with some wisdom, and I came up with this morning, if when man learned to stand up and walk, he said that's good enough, where would mankind be now?
Yeah,
that's my wisdom, because if we don't keep striving, and the beauty of our game. I think I'm blessed because, and I bet you're the same. Well, I know you're the same. Even tomorrow, when you tip a bag of balls out, you'll be excited, won't you?
Yep. So I can't wait.
Isn't it amazing? We've been tipping a bag of balls out now for, I've been playing this game for 50 years now. Yeah, 50 years is coming up. I was inspired. So 50 years ago, I watched television at the Masters when Cody won. Charles Cooley won. Jack was obviously all the attention. They won the BBC. So 50 years ago, I was inspired to play golf, try golf. And I think the greatest thing is I've never been bored and I've never said ever, oh, geez, I've got to go and hit balls tomorrow.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. So how lucky is that?
Absolutely.
How lucky? Never. And I know now I go and practice and I laugh because I was with Trevino and we go, so what are we practicing for? We're not playing any tournaments anymore. And that's, isn't that great thing? So we go and hit balls and we go, I think I've got it.
Yes.
I think I found something. That is better than yesterday or last week. I think I found, and I'm saying that to myself now and I think I've got to go and play. I've got to go and play something because I think I've got it again. I mean,
you're so right. I played yesterday. You know, I've beaten my age now over 3,000 times in a row, and I'm trying to beat my age by 18 shots. And I'm saying to myself, you're not playing tournaments anymore. But yesterday I played and I hit 14 greens and I didn't putt well. Man, before I had my drink, I went to the putting green to hit some extra putts.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, no, it's engraved in us. It's this game is a disease.
It's a good one, yeah.
And so that's my
argument to people who say, you know, we're not experimenting. Because an experiment is a test. That's the other good word. And every time you hit a good shot, what do you say to yourself? Oh, I wanted. How do I do that again? Well, then it's a test. How do you do it again? Physically, technically, mentally, how do you do it again? So that's the coolest thing about our game. That's my argument that why we keep working on it.
Yeah, it's such a great game. It's actually, and you think about it, Nick, when you win golf tournaments, you've got to be a great putter and you've got to have a great mind. And the mind is so, we just haven't scratched the surface of the mind yet, what is involved and how it's
Okay, I've got a serious question for you. So when Gary Player could not play like Gary Player, when it happens one day to an athlete.
Yes.
Did that hurt you?
No,
really?
It didn't, because first of all, we could go on to the Champions Tour. But even after that, because I you know, I won 9 majors on the Champions Tour, and that was very significant for me because I stayed in shape and I was ready to play. And then came the time when I couldn't play there anymore. And I said, look, you've got to be realistic. You know, you've had a wonderful long career, and I've had a very long career, longer than probably maybe anybody that's ever played the game. So you've had a feast. Gratitude is so important.
Yeah.
I say to people, a man is never so tall as when he's on his knees. And so you should be thanking. And I mean, if you play in this great country in America, as you and I know, I mean, I see athletes complaining about this and that and this and that, being paid $50 million, $500 million. You can't go to another country and even make $1 million. So to me, gratitude is a big thing, and I have a feast. So when you have a feast and you leave the table,
So your career, fortunately, just tapered out because physically, like an athlete, you know, well, like a Usain Bolt, once he knows that the younger kids will eventually run faster than him, and you cannot run faster than you, in your prime, you then let go. So you were able to let go, you know, where I'm my career, you know, my last win was when I was 39, and then I start playing badly, and it tapered off. And so that hurt me. So when I stopped, it hurt for a while because I thought, I can't play like how Nick Faldo could play. So I was hurt for a while. But then luckily, when I went to sat in the TV tower, I looked out the window and watched these guys doing this and winning. And I went, wow, I was able to do that. I could go and play on a Sunday trying to win. And then the gratitude word hit me. And I realized exactly the same thing. And I said, well, I'm really grateful. I had that time. I had a good pair of hands and a good head and a good heart. And I had that for my period. And then I was fine. Then I would realize, I had my day. I had my time. And I'm very grateful. Yes. That I had it. So, but you've got to find that gratitude word.
There's nothing worse than seeing athletes who've been champions trying to make a comeback and failing. You know, go out when you're winning. But the mind is so fascinating, and records will always be broken. I won the Masters at 42, and I said to my wife, there are two things I did in my life that I said to my wife. She's a wonderful golfer. She had 2 holes in 1 in the same round. She could really play. And I said to her, nobody will win the Masters at 42 again. Well, Nicklaus comes along and wins it at 46. So it's such a wonderful, humbling game. And then, to me, people often say, what's the greatest achievement in sport in the history of sport? Well, I am quite qualified to say that, being 85 and having been around a long time. And, you know, I won the Grand Slam at 29. I said to my wife, nobody will do that. Nicklaus comes along, wins it at 26. Tiger Woods, now here's the thing, wins the Grand Slam at 24. That's the greatest achievement in sports in the history of any sport you like to mention.
Sports. You're going for all sports. That's a good call. That's something that could be done, but the odds are extremely slim. You're right. That his Tiger's achievements are amazing. You know, like we were saying, despite what we were saying, talking about the wealth, he wanted to win. All he wanted to do was win. And how a man can, you know, how you can come out and have seasons when you're winning eight tournaments a year, and then you know, some of that hit and his dominance, and we know this game is a tough game to dominate. I mean, because it's just you've got to be feeling great and being able to come out each day, you walk out your hotel room and go to the golf course, be feeling good and hit those opening balls, and it's all got to, and to be able to do that and come out and just be doing that all the time, pretty extraordinary what he was able to do. Unbelievable.
And young people must realize, yes, would I have my life over? No. Would you have your life over? No. But it's not all roses. You're away from your family. On many occasions, I was away from my children and my wife for 3 months, away from your home, away from your country. You're living in motels every week, traveling in airplanes, sitting in airports, having tournaments where you play terribly badly. You know, it's not all roses. And young guys have got to understand, it's not a bed of roses. It's There's a lot of adversity. Of course, adversity makes adversity is the greatest gift bestowed upon a man. But it's a fascinating game, and it's a game you can play forever, Nick. I can't wait to go and play tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the great thing.
I can't wait to go and play. And I mean, you know, a lot of players in their sports can't do that anymore. And that's why we get to see golf grow.
Yeah.
I think with this, the way golf is going now, you're going to see a lot of athletes say, well, listen, if I go to the NFL, I have 3 years and I can't walk again and I'm going to die earlier because I've been thumped so hard, my head and my body. Whereas golf, you know, you can make more money at 80 than you made when you were world champion. Now, there are not other sports that you can do that.
Yeah.
And it's not only the money, it's the competing. And still being able to play, and longevity is a big thing in a man's career.
Going back to the hotel life, it's funny because, you know, I'm in a hotel again for TV. And I think that's the hardest thing on the road, because a bit like we were talking before, you're so well off now. You're living in a beautiful home, anything from 6,000 to 26,000 square feet. And then you come to a hotel and you're in. Well, I'm posh this week. Yeah, I've got 8 walls. I've got a bedroom and I got a lounge. Okay. But compared to my home, this is horrible. You know, so if you're doing this week after week and you've got that at home, this is a tough life. You know, I've been on the road since I was 18, and I'm starting to go, this is getting a little like hard work when I know what I've got at home and that's my life. And I think that's, you know, that thing that can add, as you said, to how the guys look at being on tour. I mean, it's because they've got such great wealth at home. You got to remember how you got your wealth at home, because you got it on the golf course. So, and you have to have that sacrifice, as you said, to come and stay in hotels, grind it out, practice hard. I think that's all part of it. That's all part of the modern golfer. And then, can you have longevity? You don't have to have longevity like you've done, or you can have 10 great years on tour, and boy, oh boy, you are absolutely set for life. But whether you desire to do more is down, whether you think I've got a 20-year window as a golfer, that's probably pretty realistic. That's a great goal to have 20 great years out there. And then if you wish to go out on a senior tour after that, hey, that's your choice afterwards. But it's about that commitment for those 20 years is the most important thing.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
When I judge golfers, I look at longevity, because if you've got a good car, it lasts a long time. And if you look at Sam Snead, and I tell you what, I've never seen a more rhythmical, loose, beautiful golf swing than Sam Snead. And he played forever. So you've got to put him right up there. You've got to put him right
but
up
he
there.
He was strong. He was strong as his ox, his arms.
Was he strong?
His forearm. I mean, he used to take that hickory stick, didn't he? I mean, didn't he? He went into the woods and he found a stick, like, you know, with a big knot on it, and he whittled it with his knife and put like 2 degrees aloft on this knot. And he could hit, and I heard the stories that he managed to get green high at the 17th at the Greenbrier there. You got green high in 2, even doesn't matter par 5.
Yeah.
With that old golf ball. I mean, and he said, I used to take this thing out on the tour and give it to the guys and tell them to hit it off the deck. And he says, they top it off the end of the tee. Nobody could get it airborne. and he could hit that thing. And
you know, he could at 65, he could take the ball out of the cup with his knees straight, and he'd come in the locker. We'd say, "Sam, kick the door." At a normal door, he'd put his foot right on the top of the door.
Yeah,
it was amazing, and he could do 5 one-arm push-ups. I mean, the guy was absolutely remarkable. But I loved, you know, Hogan used to irritate him a bit because people would come and say, "You know, Sam, of course you've heard this. You know that Hogan hits the ball so straight that he puts his driver in the same divot he was in yesterday." He said, "If he was that straight, why didn't he hit it to the left or the right of it?"
Yeah, they must have. They must have had a good run. They were chalk and cheese, weren't they? They were chalk and cheese.
Boy. They certainly were. Actually, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, anyway.
And you do such a nice job on TV because you've been in the arena. And the important thing is, there's nothing worse than hearing announcers give opinions and they're really wrong. Of course, we all have our opinions, but you've been in the arena and you know what it is to come to the last hole and need a 4 to win. And so I love your opinions very much. Keep it going. And so
my opinions are right. That's the bottom line.
It's nice to listen to them all.
There's a good line from somebody today. So just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you're right. You know, so yeah. I just fortunately I still hit balls, so at least, you know, I stand out and miss a green with a wedge, and then so when a guy does miss a green with a wedge, sure, it's a bad shot, but say why. You know, why was it a bad shot rather than that's dreadful, that's awful. Then we can say, you know, but things happen and try and say, yeah, I'm trying to get more of, you know, how and why things happen, you know, and what's he going to do? How's he going to do it? And why did that happen rather than speak the obvious, you know, so what you can see. So that's important to me to keep working on that to, hey, just give some good insight into, yeah, what the players can only guess what they're thinking, not a mind reader, but you can definitely help the golfers with some little tips here and there. I like doing that. I like trying to give a bit of insight, try this, feel that, think that. Yeah. So, I'm enjoying it. It's a good gig.
Two things that come to mind. It's wonderful to see golfers, you know, doing so much for charity. I think golfers are renowned as wonderful contributors to charity. And the other thought that came to my mind, knowing they're going to have the Open at St. Andrews and DeChambeau is going to drive probably firm conditions 9 greens. So
yeah,
this is going to be a lot of exciting things to look forward to. And thanks very much, Nick.
Yeah.
And I just like to tell.
If they get the right wind, if he gets downwind at the first, he might even calculate first bounce will go over the burn. If he lands it short on a rock hard fairway, doing, he could. Well, yeah, if he can carry it 350, he will get, well, downwind.
Yeah.
Let's say he carries one 360 at the first. Well, that's will land just short, one big hop, it'll hopefully stop by the back of the green. That will cause a bit of a stir.
Yeah, Tom Morris. When he has to play it back to the flag.
but you're right. If you've got downwind, if they get favorable wind, you know, John Daly got very close to number 2. I mean, the fairways are running rock hard.
Yeah.
John Daly got close. So you got 2, obviously 3 you can drive now. He can drive 3, yes. Not the 4. 5, par 5, yes, 2. 6 downwind he will get very close. 7, yeah. 7, he, yes. 7 yeah. he could actually, he could somehow get it onto the 11th green of, yes, you know, 7. Yes. He can go up that way.
Yeah.
And then obviously 9 and 10 you already can, 12 you already can.
Yeah,
and then
right.
if you got downwind, 15 is
driving
amazing.
Right on me.
The fairway's all downhill rock hard.
Yes.
When it gets silvery, shiny, 16, brutal, a ridiculous shot, but wow, he could aim at the second green and somehow get it up very close to there. He might be in the hay, I don't know. And then, of course, 18 will be, he might be hitting his 4-iron if it's downwind on 18. So that will cause a bit of a stir. So but if they get the dreaded left to right wind going out and coming back, you're very happy to break 74.
I've got to tell our viewers that I'll never forget playing there the very first time. I thought they spoilt a good mosh. And afterwards, I learned that it's one of my favorite places in the world, and I got such utter respect for the RNA. But on the one green there, it's about the six or something, I had a 100-yard putt, 100 yards.
Yeah.
And I said to my caddy, his name was Jock, I said, Jock, he's at the flag, holding the flag. I said, give me a line. He says, Laddie, I can't give you a line. I can give you a yardage.
I can't even see you. You said, keep talking to me because I can't see you down there. And then so we got to tell everybody what we're going to do, Gary, because, you know, your story is amazing. When you first went to St Andrews, you didn't have enough money for the hotel.
Right.
So you put your waterproofs on, you went in the sand dunes down, I guess it must have been right of number two, somewhere
Yes.
Opposite the hotel.
Yes.
And you put your waterproofs on and you made camp and you slept in the sand dunes.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
So I've been thinking about, we're trying to work on this because remember when we spoke, we were talking about when I'm older and I said, well, obviously we're going to be at St Andrews next year.
Yes.
So somehow, we need a sponsor. What we're doing, I would say, we need a sponsor for this. We're going to do this for charity, for the homeless, maybe, or something. And we're going to do a celebrity camp out. So we'll start with a nice party. So we're fed and watered. Maybe we can get Bushmills to give us some lovely whiskey to keep us warm at night. That'd be lovely. And then I thought we can all, somebody could sponsor us with either waterproof or cashmere blankets.
Right. And you put your
head
on
the bag. And if it's raining, we need a little bit of a canopy. But we thought we'd go and sleep in the sand dunes to honor you, my great friend. And then we can maybe do a bit of good for charity. So if there's anybody out there listening to that and things, and you can come and join us. You can buy a ticket for the evening and come and we think it'll be a hell of a laugh. My goodness, I think it would be hilarious. We hope it's not a chilly evening. Otherwise, we're gonna have to chip Gary out of a ditch. I might die there. If he dies, he dies. It was a great evening. It's a circle of life, Gary. If that's where you started at St Andrews, that's where you're going to finish, my boy.
Hey, you know, Nick, the next day I got a room for 10 shillings and sixpence. That was a dollar then. And the room was so small, when I put the key in the keyhole, the window cracked.
The window.
Yeah, and the room, they told me, was facing the sea. It was facing the bloody WC. And I didn't have a curtain. There were no curtains in the room. And I mean, you know, it's hilarious when you think. I mean, I remember taking a Greyhound bus from Fort Worth to Houston. I mean, it's not the same as your own private jet, is it?
No, not quite. So,
but I'd love to tell the story. You know it. And it's my favorite. I got on the first tee at St Andrews, my first year there, and I was very nervous. The fairway so wide. And the guy says, play away, laddie. This big dour guy with his kilt on. And I hooked the damn ball and was going to go out of bounds. And I, thank goodness, I hit that white railing and it came back in the fence. And we were walking off the tee. He said, laddie, come here a minute. What's your name? I said, my name's Gary Player, sir. And he says, and where are you from? I said, South Africa. And he says, and what is your handicap? I said, no, I'm a pro. He said, you're a pro. I said, aye. He says, you must be a hell of a chipper and putter, laddie. I won the Open at 23, the youngest at that stage. Came back to St Andrews. He hit his head like that. He says, it's a mirage. He says, it's a bloody miracle.
Anyway. Funny. Oh,
Nick,
I'm losing.
Thanks very much, my friend. It was a delight talking to you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Player Series on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.